With Ms. McAvee. Good morning, Ms. McAvee. You have 15 minutes to argue your case, and inasmuch as Mr. Sowers is apparently not present and also did not file any type of pleadings, then of course we will not be hearing from him today. So you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. There was reference to a signing procedure. Do I need to
do yes, that? There is. It's there on the desk. Thank you.
Can I complete it?
So, yes, ma'am, you certainly may.
May it please the court. My name is Julia McAfee. I represent the appellant, Francine Nee. Your Honors, there are no material facts in dispute in this case, so the issue is a very narrow one. That is whether the trial court erred when they modified the coverture formula, whether that was an alteration of the substantive provisions of a 2000 order. I would submit that, Your Honor, that it was clearly a substantive alteration. In a 2000 decree, Ms. Mead was awarded 50% of her husband's federal employee retirement benefit. At the time of separation of parties, Mr. Sowers had 128 months of service. He continued to work for the Postal Service until he retired on retirement disability sometime in 2000. At the time he retired, he had 224 months of service with the Postal Service. Office of Personnel Management, in calculating the formula to be used for the division of the benefits, the retirement benefits, calculated 128 months, which everyone agrees is the months that he had during marriage, over 224 months, which was the months up to the date of his retirement.
Ms. McAfee, let me ask this question. If in its original order, the trial court had awarded the benefits based on the date that the husband would have retired, not based on the date of which he actually retired, would that have been in error?
No, not if it had been in the original order, Your Honor. There was a, this is a FERS account, Federal Employee Retirement System. There's a
So you're conceding that the award that was ultimately made was a division of the marital share of that retirement account?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the order itself is quite ambiguous.
Very
to
ambiguous.
Say the least.
To say the least, Your Honor.
Why can't the court interpret that order saying, well, that's what I really meant when I entered the order? Because it doesn't say one way or another what the marital share of that retirement account is.
Well, it says 50% of marital share.
But it doesn't define the marital share. That's the issue.
The issue, correct, Your Honor. But it does say up to a certain date. Under the Code of Federal Regulations, as I pointed out in my brief, the OPM looks at the language, and if there is, it does refer to a specific date, or it refers to an amount as of a specific date, but it doesn't give that. It goes back to basically what we call Virginia the coverture formula.
But if your argument is correct, that coverture formula is mandatory, then I don't understand your statement to me that the judge could have divided it up that way initially.
Yes, initially he could have, Your Honor. There, in 1997, OPM put out a manual for attorneys called Drafting a Court Order Acceptable for Process, basically acquired.
Apparently somebody didn't read that
manual.
They
didn't read it. But in that manual, and it's tedious reading, it's painful to read through the manual, but it gives examples. And one of the examples is, if you want to defer the division of that, you simply say that upon the participant reaching the age of 62, alternate pay will be
awarded. But we're not concerned with the federal regulations or retirement, federal retirement manuals. We're concerned with
20-107.3
G, which authorizes the court to divide a retirement account, a pension. And it clearly says that the court can divide the marital share, and it defines the marital share without any the reference to the date upon which a person actually retires versus the date they would be eligible to retire. So if the court did that initially, and that would be okay, I don't understand why the court can't go back and say, well, that's what I really meant to do, I just didn't phrase it very well, so I'm doing it now.
Well, Your Honor, under the case law in Virginia, the division of a defined benefit plan, and that's what we're dealing with, is a defined benefit plan, is this court has said the coverture formula is the formula to be used. And again, that is the number of months in service over the number of months during marriage, over the months in service. So the court could have done any, I agree, the orders, and I will admit, I was not the attorney involved for these back in 1999 to 2000. The order is very ambiguous, but at the same time, we go forward now, and the trial judge is saying, okay, I'm going to pick the minimum retirement age. I'm going to say, we will calculate this based on as if you retired at 56. Well, the judge could have just easily said, let's pick full retirement age at 62, or, oh, let's take Social Security retirement age.
Well, I tend to agree to some extent with that argument, and that's why I'm a little bit amazed that you're suggesting he could do it up front, because it looks to me like we have a term called marital share. That term has been defined in case law. Of course, the court can only do an equitable distribution that which a statute authorizes. So I don't understand how he could do it initially. Your argument seems to be that would have been impermissible even at the entry of the initial ED award.
No, Your Honor. Had that order said initially that this will be, again, you know, once the participant reaches age 62 or 56, then that would be the substantive provisions of that order. What we have now is an order that is greatly ambiguous, but at the same time, we also have a case law that was in existence at this time that defined that marital share as the number of months. So by now saying, yes, it was ambiguous, but we know what the case law was during that time, and that's how it was defined. But now to go forward almost 20 years and say, we'll pick a number, we'll pick something, that does not conform to the substantive terms of marriage.
But the order doesn't use the word marital share.
It does not, Your Honor.
So he effectively awarded something that the statute didn't authorize him to award, that is something other than the marital share.
He awarded 50%. I think there was two orders, of course, Your Honor, and the second one was 50% of the first account. Your Honor, again, would submit that the trial court erred in calculating and recalculating the division. I won't go through the Code of Federal Regulations with the case law. It's set forth in my brief. I appreciate this opportunity to come before the court and answer any further questions.
Are there any other questions? No, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll come down and greet counsel.